Behold, the Lord shall come to save all nations. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria. There are two themes in the liturgy today, it seems to me. We have first the preaching, as we see most clearly in the epistle, but also in the introit, of the gospel, which will be preached to all nations. And along with that thought, the second theme of the liturgy today clearly must be joy, gladness, and rejoicing. It's all throughout the texts of the liturgy, even though next Sunday is a Gaudete. Nevertheless, if you count up all the words of joy and happiness, it's all there. So there's always that double aspect to Advent. It is a time of penance, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, but always with the joy, which is right there. It's a very beautiful time. It's a different feel, of course, than Lent, although the penance is still there. So first, with the first theme here, we have the introit from Holy Prophet Isaiah. It says Psalm 30, but it's really Isaiah 30. It's okay, it's a misprint. Comes from Holy Prophet Isaiah. So we left off with him last week, so hopefully that story is still in your mind there. What does Holy Prophet Isaiah say? O people of Zion, behold, thy Lord, the Lord, shall come to save the nations. Again, if we think in the historical context, perhaps Holy Prophet Isaiah was thinking of salvation from the Assyrians, as we spoke of course, the Assyrians destroyed the Northern Kingdom in 721. And so there's very much that desire that the Messiah would come to save Israel and Judah, both kingdoms, from the oppression. But as we spoke last week, we recalled that that's not primarily the kind of liberation or salvation that God comes to bring. And so if you look in Isaiah chapter 30, the verse ends differently than it does here in the introit. And so there must have been, as it were, the thought was purified. If you look in Isaiah chapter 30, the salvation spoken of directly in this chapter is a salvation by the sword. It's very much fire and brimstone, and people will be dying and all of that. If you see that thought is kind of purified over the centuries in the church, and then the second half of the introit is an ecclesiastical gloss. So how does this salvation come to the nations? Let's look at the second half of the introit verse. The Lord shall make his voice, the glory of his voice, to be heard. How does that come about? Again, is it by forcing peoples to submit? No, where is this voice of the Lord heard? In the joy of your heart. It's very profound. How is this salvation to come to all nations? In a twofold way. One, it comes by the people who are preaching the gospel because they themselves have been transformed in the interior man. The joy that they bear with them in their hearts, that's a very eloquent gospel. But also the salvation they come to bring, again, just to underscore the point, not necessarily a freedom from temporal oppressions or temporal afflictions, possibly, but that's not the essential message, and it's not the essential content of what this Messiah King comes to bring. The salvation shall also come in the joy of the heart. And we'll see that more in St. Paul. So that double theme there, I think, is very clear in the introit. To move on to the collect, I love the collects in Advent. The last week and this week, they both begin in the same way. Excita Domine, stir up, O Lord. Last week, it was stir up thy power and come. Today, stir up our hearts to prepare the way of thine only begotten Son. Again, how do we prepare for this coming? We don't have to sharpen our swords. Rather, we can turn the swords into plowshares, as it says in the prophet. The way we prepare for Christ's coming anew, again, is in the interior man. We stir up our hearts, again, through those works of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. I know you hear me say that so often. Please don't close the ears to that. It's very important. Yes, we need to ordain adorn. We need to adorn the houses with wreaths and lights and all of those things. But those are exterior signs of joy, which is also to be interiorized, internalized. And we prepare the heart through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. There's not really another way to do it. So don't put off that most important work in view of all the other, as it were, busyness going on during this time. St. Paul gives us a beautiful reading here. And again, it's a litany of joy, you can say. St. Paul, of course, his title is the Apostle. One of his titles is just the Apostle. But the Apostle specifically to the Gentiles. That was his special vocation and his burden, as he would say. And so, there's a very interesting verse. Of course, he says, yes, Jesus Christ is the minister of circumcision. That is, he came first for the Jew, as he says. But then also, St. Paul says, by view of the mercy of God, also for all nations. And again, there's that universality to the coming of this Messiah. And then, just not to belabor the point, but it's just very beautiful. You can hear St. Paul rejoicing in this, and I think it works well in the English, but the Latin also is very nice. Laetamine gentes, be ye glad, all nations. Laudate omnes gentes, praise all nations the Lord. And again, Isaiah. It's just very beautiful. And at the end there, St. Paul ends with this beautiful verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Why do I pull that out again? Again, that theme of joy, clearly there. But the theme of peace is what caught my eye there, because I'm reading the Holy Father's book and he talks about that. This peace. What kind of peace is this Messiah King bringing? We have a nice juxtaposition. We can contrast it with the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. What kind of peace is brought by the sword? Well, it's a certain kind of peace. There was a true peace in order at the time of our Lord's advent, wasn't there? Brought by the Roman Empire. But if we look quickly now to the first verse of the Gospel, how does that begin? And when John, who was in chains, and the verse goes on. Okay, so this Pax Romana, the peace that is a political peace, is not infallible. It is also subject to the vicissitudes of political exigencies, we might say. And so St. John, the great Baptist, who's with us this week liturgically and also next week, he comes really into the fore. We see that Pax Romana is no assurance against oppression, and so it cannot be the true peace that we look for. Okay, so there's that. Good, let's look at the Gospel then a little bit together. Well, at any rate, the Gradual and Alleluia are very joyful as well. They speak about the joy and the beauty of the Lord. I rejoiced, I was happy when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Again, we can hear that Alleluia verse in two ways. The house of the Lord being the temple, but then also in exterior sense, but then in the interior sense, the true house, the true temple of the Lord, Our Lady at this time, who contains within her very womb, in her very midst, the Christ child, as we wait with her in expectation. And that's the great joy of the Lord. And then in the Gospel, I need to look at that just briefly. Again, as I said already, we have St. John there in chains. Nevertheless, he's at peace. We don't need to get into all of it, but he, of course, knows that Christ is the Messiah. The Fathers say he had his disciples ask this question so their faith could be strengthened, not that St. John was doubting the mission and person of our Lord. I just want to, I'll skip most of the Gospel and just get right to the end. Our Lord himself gives testimony to the one who gave testimony to him. Our Lord bears witness to the mission of St. John the Baptist at the end. He says, what did you go out into the desert to see? A prophet? Indeed, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my angel, that is in Greek messenger, I send my angel before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. Our Lord is making his own the prophecy that, of course, is from Holy Prophet Malachi, the last prophet that we have in the Old Testament. If you read that, Malachi chapter 3, if you read that chapter, if you read a bit longer, a few verses after this verse, I send my angel before thee. A few verses later, it will say, before the great and powerful and terrible, before the great and terrible day of the Lord, I will send to you Elijah. Okay, so remember, we have that connection. We have that prophecy that the Jews were waiting for, some kind of appearance of Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And as our Lord tells us in several places in the gospel, this doesn't mean that Elijah himself physically or personally had to appear, although he did on the Mount of Transfiguration. But as our Lord tells his disciples, St. John the Baptist, if you can accept it, he is the one who comes in the spirit and power of Elijah. And so in that sense, clearly our Lord here is referencing that when he speaks to the disciples. He's reminding them of the text. Just as a textual note, if you go to Malachi, you'll see the words are a bit different. It's because we're translating from perhaps the Septuagint, but our Lord here is quoting from the what we would call the Masoretic text, just if you're wondering about that. Okay. And then last, I just wanted to mention the post-communion, which is very beautiful. I'd like to speak about this. It has a very interesting phrase, which is common to many different prayers in the old Missal. The beautiful phrase is Terrena despicere et amare celestia. We ask the Lord to help us despise or detach ourselves from the things of the earth. Why? That we may come to love the things heavenly. Amare celestia. Very beautiful. It's a theme in, I think it's about 50 or 60 different prayers in the old Missal. Unfortunately, it was almost completely expunged from the 1970 Missal, but that's another homily. So, again, that it really takes up the same theme. How is it that we are going to open ourselves up to more joy or interior joy, an interior reception of the Christ child at the Christmas? Only if we participate in that Terrena Despicere, only if during these next 2 short weeks, it's only 2 short weeks, we have more than usual to take up our weapons of prayer and fasting and almsgiving. Why? Just to make ourselves miserable and, you know, longing about looking at people's Christmas cookies or something? No. The idea being that we divest ourselves of these little creaturely comforts and creaturely attachments, that we can open up space in ourselves, give ourselves more essentially to prayer, and that's the way to stir up the hearts, as it says. So please really hear those words coming from the Divine Liturgy, not from me. So we stand here and we again make our own that prayer. Stir up, O Lord, our hearts. God bless you and Ave Maria.